The Feast of the Holy Trinity was added to the church's calendar somewhere in the 13th century. And at that time, it was specified in the rubrics that no homily was to be given on the Feast of the Trinity because of the complexity of the subject. Unfortunately, no such prohibition still exists. Truth be told, I find this to be the hardest Sunday of the year to preach. Despite the fact that we are so familiar with the Trinity, it's a very difficult topic. We begin and end our prayers in the name of the triune God. Every time we come into the church, we bless ourselves with the holy water in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in the name of the Trinity. We're used to seeing the Trinity depicted in art, even here at the sanctuary of our church, in the ceiling. An artist has depicted what he believed the Trinity to look like. But even still, the Trinity is a mystery. I have, in the last few years, gotten into the habit of preaching from an outline, but today, you see, I've typed out my entire homily, because it is very easy to fall into a Trinitarian heresy. So I want to be very, very careful today. The Trinity is, properly speaking, a mystery. And a mystery in the religious sense is not something that can't be understood, but rather something that can't fully be understood this side of heaven. No matter how many times we contemplate or pray about it, there's always going to be something more, something deeper, something sort of slightly beyond our grasp. So today I'd like to reflect on the Trinity and reflect on what it is that we know about the Trinity. The first thing that we know about the Trinity is that it is a communion of love. The Father communicates his love outward and eternally begets the Son. The Son, in turn, eternally loves the Father back. And this reciprocal communication of love breathes forth the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. This communion of love is eternal for all time. All three persons are of the same substance, but they are three persons. They are all divine, and they are all equal. The second thing that we know about the Trinity is that this communion of love isn't closed in on itself. God is eternally moving outward. We see this when God created the world. He created it out of nothing. And then he creates mankind, to have another intelligent creature with whom to share that love. The first reading today from the book of Proverbs spoke about creation and how the wisdom of God was at work before anything was created. We also see this communion of love in the Trinity moving outward in the incarnation. God become man, Jesus Christ. He who lived and died and rose from the dead so that we could be with God forever. This is the ultimate act of God going out, him going out to find us, to bring us back into the communion of the Trinity. St. Paul spoke about this in the second reading today. He said, "We have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus came on a saving mission to bring us back into the communion of the Trinity. When humanity was led astray by Adam and Eve's sin, it's God himself that went out to bring us back. And we see this outward movement, lastly, in the continued action of the Holy Spirit in the world. Jesus in the gospel today says that when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. Well, what is truth? Jesus is truth. Truth is a person, Jesus Christ. So the Spirit comes to guide us back to Jesus. And he says today that he and the Father are one. So the Spirit comes to bring us back, to guide us back into the communion of the Trinity. And the third thing that we can know about the Trinity is that this outward movement of God, this outward movement of the communion of love, incorporates each of us back into that communion. An image that you might use to think about this is the wave crashing on the shore. That God's love is continually reaching out to incorporate us back. We're incorporated first at baptism, and then in every sacrament that we receive, especially the sacrament of the Eucharist, is God reaching out time and time again to bring us into his life. In our daily lives, this happens through prayer. God is not someone who is distant from us, but rather God is someone who is imminent, who is close to us. So he very much desires that we have a personal relationship with him, with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we cultivate this relationship through our prayer. We can't have a relationship with someone with whom we don't speak. So we must speak as well to our God, to the one who wants to be in relationship with us. And one of the other ways that this incorporation happens, and I think maybe this is not quite as obvious, is this our incorporation into God happens when we go out beyond ourselves, when we reach out to our brothers and sisters, perhaps someone who is in need or in crisis. If God is a perpetual going out of himself to bring us in, then when we go out of ourselves to be in service to others, it's a way that we can be incorporated into the life of God. My friends, I would encourage you today to remember that the Trinity is a communion of love, a communion of love that is active and alive in our world and in our lives. God desires a closeness with you and with all of his creation. May his Holy Spirit inspire us to want to experience this communion in a deeper way each and every day, so that one day we might be joined to this communion forever in heaven. Amen.